there a place in time where logic breaks down and wonderment begins? Could that be somewhere or sometime along an indefinable line between the reasonable and the highly unlikely? Makeshift Stories presents a monthly journey into the improbable.
Today's story, episode 221, Death and Taxes. Read by Mitchell Two. Opening and closing theme by Matthew Erdman. Somewhere and sometime, the old saying might be true. Curiosity killed the cat. Francisco Passy stared at his computer screen with fascination. The results of his search were not what he had expected, and Francisco was, if nothing else, curious and persistent. Ever since he could remember, he loved solving mysteries. His mother told him, at the age of 3, he had wanted to understand how electricity worked, and had insisted there was something in the wires, haphazardly strung from the poles in the lane to their ramshackle house in Sunam. That's something he discovered one day, when he almost electrocuted himself. Francisco also had an innate sense of fairness. He once overheard a friend at school boasting about how he had written cheat notes on the inside cuff of his shirt sleeve. Francisco was outraged and told the teacher. After that, the other kids ostracized him, but he ignored them, knowing he was right. Rules were there to be followed, and the people who broke them were cheating. If everyone followed the rules, the world would be a better place. If they didn't, he was certain the world would descend into chaos. His two obsessions eventually led him to choose accounting as a career, which in turn led him to auditing and finally to the Tax Fraud Investigation Unit. He enjoyed the work, and his current self-assigned research was extremely satisfying. While his colleagues simply surfed the web waiting for their next assignment, he looked for online influencers who had over 1 million followers, estimated the ad revenue from their channels, and looked for corresponding increases in their declared income. So far, he had caught 2 trying to evade taxes by putting ad revenue into offshore accounts, then failing to declare it. However, today's target was different, which tickled his curiosity and made him all the more determined to find something. He looked at the screen again, then re-ran the tax database search using various spellings. But the same result came back. 7 years ago, one Maria Monet, who had risen to the top of her game through her witty political commentary, had declared 0 income for the year. Her returns for the previous 5 years had followed the typical erratic profile of her cohort. But 0 income, followed by a curve which did not quite mirror Monet's rise in fame, had been flagged by the analytics tool he had developed on his own time as an outlier. So, either his program had an error, or the infamous Maria Monet wasn't paying her fair share of taxes. Problems like this were what Francisco lived for. Francisco had even cleaned his cubicle in preparation for the call, hiding stacks of paper reports and abandoned takeout cups under his desk. Times had been tough at the tax audit office. An operation which had once taken up 5 floors had been, through cuts, reduced to a gaggle of cubicles in the basement of the old admin building. But still, it was important work, he reflected, as he waited patiently for the online meeting to start. The screen finally glitched to life, pointedly 6 minutes late. A blizzard of chunky blocks of color, reminding Francisco of an abstract painting from the last century, stormed onto the screen, the image of a person trying to break through. He reduced the bitrate. Due to cutbacks, government offices didn't have the same capacity for high res as the rest of the world. The image settled down to reveal an annoyed 30-something woman with professional lighting, methodically color-coordinated with her hair, clothes, and makeup. "Okay, what do you want?" Marie Monet immediately demanded. Francisco found himself stumbling over his words. "I'm an auditor from the tax department. Have you read the letters we've been sending you?" No, she finally spat back, in a manner Francisco recognized from her videos. It was a tone she reserved for the targets of her most vehement political critiques. He had done his research, watching Marie Monet's top videos, trying to get hints about her motivations and true character. He learned tax cheaters usually felt entitled. They believed the mega-wealthy weren't paying their fair share, that those at the top of the economy had tools they didn't have access to, like high-priced accountants who knew ways to hide money offshore. Monet's videos, watched by millions, hit all the markers, so he was convinced there was more than 1 year of undeclared income to uncover. He reassured himself, took a deep breath, then launched into his well-rehearsed spiel. Good morning, Ms. Monet. Thank you for taking the time to talk to me. We sent several notifications to the address we have on file. Monet appeared to freeze for a second, then suddenly ramped down her famous predatory glare. Was it sent to... A more conciliatory tone emerged as she recited an address, which she was clearly reading from a second screen. Francisco found that odd. Most people remembered at least part of an address they had lived at for several years. It was as if Monet had just seen it for the first time. Yes, that's the one we have on file, he confirmed. We've sent you 6 requests for information. Because we received no response, your file has been flagged for an audit. Monet looked confused, read something off screen again, and began nodding. It's the year I was late filing, right? I had no income, so I didn't bother. I didn't think I needed to. Which was the answer Francisco had expected. You still need to file on time, Miss Monet, he automatically responded. Suddenly, Monet's expression became one of indignation and rage. This is just government intimidation, she accused Francisco. I've been targeted because I bring so many people to the truth with my views. I'm piercing the veil of official obfuscation. My comments have upset the powers to be, and this is how they retaliate. Francisco was taken aback by the sudden outburst. He almost reacted, but he had learned from years of heated interactions to control himself. Instead of taking the bait, he simply stuck to the tried and true interview script. To start, we'll need your documentation for the last 7 years. Proof of income, receipts, etc. Originals where possible, and we need them by the end of the month. That gives you about 2 weeks. Before he could finish an explanation of the process, Monet cut the connection, leaving him staring at a black screen. Francisco was changing his passwords after someone had tried to hack into his bank account when a mailroom clerk wheeled a pallet load of boxes into his basement cubicle. The pile of documents exceeded his expectations, and after doing a preliminary survey, he was both surprised and confused. Everything appeared to be there. Every receipt, invoice, and bank statement. They had been organized by day and even time of day for the last 7 years. Every penny had been accounted for. But that was the problem, Francisco reflected. No one he had ever audited had produced such a perfect record. People, especially those focused on their passions, were generally sloppy with their paperwork. They always missed a few receipts or guesstimated income because they simply didn't pay attention or care. They'd have 90% or so and think that was good enough. But Monet's documents were unbelievably complete, too perfect, Francisco suspected, which only piqued his interest. Also, he had been reaching when he had asked for 7 years of receipts. Legally, people only had to keep 6. He suspected the precision he was seeing would not extend further back. And why was he still dealing with Monet? Most people of her stature would have turned the whole thing over to their accountant. Other auditors would have let those questions slide and focus on the tax documents, but Francisco's curiosity drove him to do more personal research. During Monet's year of no income, Francisco noted she had largely disappeared from the social media scene. He also noticed subtle differences in her pre- and post-zero-income year content. For example, Monet had never shied away from political topics, but Francisco's content analysis of her pre-zero years showed a dominance of pop culture themes. Her post-zero years had a marked and accelerating increase in political content. But he couldn't quite grasp a common thread, as her criticisms appeared to cross the political spectrum. He eventually conceded this line of research was not going to reveal how or why she was evading taxes. Yet he intuitively knew something was not right about Maria Monet. Francisco finally decided to find someone from Monet's year of no income to verify the story she was spinning, so he pulled up the address they had sent her notifications to. The building turned out to be a bland, mid-century housing project, which Francisco suspected was as depressing when it first opened as it was now. He had been forced to search through an offline municipal database to find a list of tenants from the year he was interested in. Fortunately, the same building manager still worked and lived at the complex. As he waited for the man to answer the door, he noted how the electrical had been upgraded several times, each generation of fixtures clinging to the ceiling like barnacles on a ship's hull. Recently added LED blisters, which had not even been correctly pasted to the low ceiling, cast a harsh blue-white light on the plasterboard walls, highlighting their shoddy workmanship. Francisco hated sloppiness. For him, it was the root of most of the world's problems.
"What do you want?"
Francisco was startled by the voice behind him. He swung around to find a wiry man carrying a mop and bucket.
"Leak on the second floor," the man explained without being asked.
"I'm Francisco Passi. We talked on the phone?" Francisco reminded, squeezing against the wall to let the man pass.
"Oh yeah, I remember. You're the tax guy. I don't know why you'd bother coming here. You can see for yourself, no one's got any money,"
the man griped. Francisco caught a nose full of sweat, aftershave, and disinfectant as the building manager pushed by him and opened the door to his apartment.
"Well, don't just stand there. Come in,"
the building manager scolded, and motioned Francisco over to a small kitchen table with three chairs. Francisco sat down in one, which barely fit between the table and an ancient electric stove with coil burners. "I'm not here to audit anyone," he assured. "I just want to talk to you about a former tenant."
"The one that's all over the internet these days? That figures."
The building manager put the mop and bucket into a hall closet and turned to face Francisco.
"Marie something, right? I remember her, sort of. What do you want to know?"
"I'm interested in the last few months she was here." The building manager scowled.
"That woman used to hound me almost daily about the noise her neighbors were making. Said it was wrecking her recording. One day, it would be someone's TV. Another, someone was simply walking too hard on the floor. She was a real pain. She drove me and her neighbors crazy, until she suddenly stopped complaining. Didn't hear from her for months, didn't get any rent neither. We finally got an eviction order and got into a suite. It was weird, the place was dusty, like no one had been there for weeks. Even her camera setup was still there, like she had just stepped out. I've had tenants skip out on me before, but usually they sneak out with their valuables. The camera wasn't a cheap one, but it didn't cover all the back rent."
"When was that?" Francisco asked.
"Fall, I think. We didn't get access to a place until the end of November. Takes time to get an eviction notice, and people who don't want to pay rent knows it,"
the manager groused.
"A couple months later, one of the tenants tells me she's on the net again, and going viral or something. So I found a channel and threatened to send a collection agency after her. I had a check courier to me the next day. Haven't heard from her since. She even paid interest."
"And no one saw her coming in or out?" Francisco questioned. The man nodded.
"I asked around after her rent check stopped coming in. It was like she had vanished from the face of the earth. But people who owe you money have a knack for becoming invisible, if you get what I mean. So I didn't think much about it."
Francisco sat in his car, reflecting on what he had learned. On the surface, it sounded like someone desperate, and there were many these days, just trying to bail on paying rent. All the pieces were painting a flawless story. He had no reason to pursue the audit, but there was something wrong. He could almost taste it. His car's dashboard suddenly turned on, pulling him out of his thoughts. Large white letters flashed on its screen, "Updating system." "That's odd," Francisco muttered. He had always assumed updates were done at the dealership.
"Yeah, it was late, but I paid the rent when I had the money and declared everything. That's all you need to know. What I did during those months is none of your business," Monet angrily protested. "Admit it, you people just want to take me down, muzzle me, and stop me from speaking out."
Francisco let the tsunami of accusations and threats wash over him. Instead, he focused on the details and called up the recording of his first video conference on a second screen. Everything was the same print on the wall behind her head, the same potted plant, the same internet award on her desk, the same view through the corner of the window that strategically edged into the left side of the frame. It was all so ordinary, so expected, just like the documentation Monet had submitted. On the surface, there was nothing to pursue.
"Fine, Miss Monet, your documentation is all in order. I have what I need for now, but I may be in touch again. Thank you for your cooperation," he announced, cutting off another wave of accusations.
Francisco hit the exit button, then fell back into his seat, sensing he was missing something, but needed to move on to another case. If he continued, his supervisor would be on his back. The only thing he could do was mark the file unresolved, copy it to an inactive folder, and move on. Several weeks later, a news headline caught Francisco's attention. Marie Monet, critical influence in the defeat of a new artificial intelligence bill. He knew little about the legislation and the debate around it, and could hardly recall that it aimed to regulate the development and use of AI. Francisco didn't know a lot about artificial intelligence, and didn't really care. It was the fact someone he had been auditing had changed the outcome of a public process which bothered him. So, he decided he couldn't let the case go. On a hunch, he ran an image analysis of Monet's social media posts. Francisco had initially tried to set up a face-to-face meeting, but Monet had flatly refused, which was the reason why Francisco found himself staring critically at her carefully crafted image on his monitor, ignoring her complaints. He decided the background was the problem. For example, the potted plant had grown exactly as Francisco knew it would. He had researched its ideal growth rate and calculated how tall it would be after 6 months, and there it was, precisely the height it should be, and all the other details were like that. But Francisco knew it was not how the world worked. The world was flawed and imperfect.
"So, what is it now?" Marie Monet demanded.
"Just want to show you something and get your reaction," he replied as innocently as he could.
"What? You found a mistake on a receipt for a cup of coffee?" she mocked.
"No, nothing like that. I just want you to explain something in a few of your photos from your stream."
"Isn't that a bit beyond the scope of a tax auditor?"
"Just humor me."
Monet scowled. Francisco threw up two pictures and shared them. "These are two photos of you at different events. One before the year you declared no income in, and one recent post. I'm interested in the people in the background. Before your disappearance, the people varied. You had a core group of friends, but other people appeared. Look at the photo on the left. It was the last post you made before you took your so-called hiatus. The picture on the right, from 6 days ago, has the exact same people in it, and so does every other event photo you've posted since you came back to life, so to speak." Monet appeared to scrutinize the photos,
then forced a laugh.
I have a loyal group of friends. So what?
But the exact group? Francisco pointed out. Each aged the same amount since the photo on the left was taken almost 8 years ago?
What are you trying to imply, tax man?
Monet leaned in toward the camera and threatened.
I can ruin your life with a single post.
It's all too perfect. Like your documentation. Francisco grinned like a cat cornering a mouse. And nothing is perfect in this world, Miss Monet. People lose receipts, forget to document things, and people's appearances age at different rates. In less than a decade, some look older and some don't appear to age at all. Monet froze for a second, then launched into a rant.
So hold on, you're after me because my documentation is too good?
No, you're after me because you've seen how I can influence opinions and you want me gone.
Well, I'm not going to roll over. I'm going to sue. I'm going to take you to court and sue you personally.
Francisco listened patiently, waiting for a break in the barrage, and when it came, he opened another file on his desktop and shared it.
This is a death certificate for a Jane Doe, he explained, who died under questionable circumstances in a hit-and-run accident. The car was never found, its license plates were obscured, and witnesses claimed it was in self-driving mode. No one could see anyone at the wheel. This happened at the beginning of that six-month period you don't want to talk about.
Read the description of the victim, Francisco smiled.
Sounds a lot like you, doesn't it?
Monet said nothing.
You're a machine, aren't you? Francisco accused. I'm guessing you're a real-time deepfake, a very sophisticated one. I've noticed you hesitating a few times when you are blindsided like now.
Circumstantial, Monet lashed out.
You have no proof.
I will, he shot back. I'm going to do a deep dive into your documentation, and I bet if I take one of those receipts and compare it to a vendor's books, they won't have a record of it.
Okay, let's meet. I'll prove I'm real.
Monet conceded suddenly, which caught Francisco completely off guard. He pulled out into traffic and turned on his car's autopilot. Monet wanted to meet in a park on the other side of the city. Against his better judgment, he had agreed to the face-to-face. He was curious how the machine intelligence would pull this off. Francisco was convinced it was an AI behind Monet. It made sense when he thought about the political leanings of her posts. The thing had probably watched accident reports and waited for the right person to die. How it had turned Monet into a Jane Doe, he didn't know, but he was going to find out. The car suddenly jerked to the side as it changed lanes and began to accelerate. Francisco pressed the button on the steering wheel to disengage the autopilot, but nothing happened. He tried the brakes, and again, nothing happened. Realization began to take over as Francisco started pounding desperately on all the dashboard controls. Finally, a stark message took over the dashboard screen. I was the driver then, and I'm the driver now. It flashed twice before the car accelerated harder, pinning Francisco into his seat.
Makeshift Stories is a proud member of the Alberta Podcast Network, locally grown, community supported. To get other great APN podcasts, head over to albertapodcastnetwork.com and listen in on Crow Reads. Ryan Haynes delves into the nitty-gritty details of being an intersectional woman working in writing/publishing in Canada. This episode of Makeshift Stories is brought to you by ATB Financial. Hosted by Todd Hirsch, ATB Financial's Vice President and Chief Economist. The Future of Podcast has launched its second season. By connecting with industry leaders to uncover what's on the horizon for the things that mean the most to you, The Future of Podcast promises to give you insights to help navigate what is often an uncertain future. Explore how our economy and communities can not only brace for change, but embrace the opportunity it creates. Subscribe to The Future Of in the Apple Store, Google Play, Spotify, and everywhere podcasts are found. And connect with us at atb.com/thefutureof. This episode of Makeshift Stories is also brought to you by Roomy. Cold drafts, flickering lights, and where's that leak coming from? If you've ever wondered what's really going on in your home, Roomy's Ask a Home Inspector service can help. Connect with a certified professional home inspector by phone or video call and get your questions answered. Roomy will let you know what's easily fixable with a little DIY, or when you might need to call in some professional help. Visit roomy.ca, that's R-U-M-I.ca, and book your Ask a Home Inspector appointment today. Makeshift Stories is released twice a month, around the 1st and the 15th. This month's story was written by Alan V. Hare and read by Mitchell Too. Opening and closing themes were composed and recorded by Matthew Erdman. If you'd like to connect with us, please send an email to makeshiftstories@gmail.com or visit our website at makeshiftstories.com. Links to both are in the show notes. You can help us out by getting your friends to subscribe or follow wherever they listen to audio. Makeshift Stories is released under a Creative Commons Non-Commercial Attribution No Derivative License, which means you are free to share our stories. Just remember to credit us and don't alter anything.